Hi, it's Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy Show, October 14th, 2006. You're hearing it on CBSRadio.com, HandTalk1340AM.com, 1340 and 1400, and the voice of Tampa Bay, Dr. Fred Bell here. We also want to welcome some of our listeners today. We got Gene down in Laguna Beach. We got Steve Wynn and the gang over in Las Vegas. And we're going to have a lot of fun with the show tonight. So first, we're going to give you a little bit of background about what the show is about. As you know, back in 1999 or 2000, when the Columbine shooting happened, I was up there with our Vice President Al Gore attending the ceremony, as I had been working on that ever since the Mitchell Johnson and Andrew Golden shooting back in Arkansas a few years before that. I had been covering these schoolyard shootings. This is a very painful experience for young kids. It's a very painful experience for the parents, the alumni, and everybody in the community involved. And I'll say that of all the areas that I attended, the Columbine was the most dramatic. And tonight's guest, Mark Taylor, was shot 7 to 13 times, or not even sure how many. He had so many bullet holes in him. He was the first kid to go down. I guess he was shot by Eric Harris, and he'll talk about that. His mother, of course, is also on the phone, and she's on the line, and she's going to be talking about how it is from a point of a parent. And we're going to be talking about Mark's new book, which is out called I Asked God and God Answered, A Columbine Miracle, and that's available at Amazon.com and TatePublishing.com, which is on the front page, all these links on BBS Radio. So first I'd like to say hello to Donna. How are you doing, Donna?
Fine. How are you?
Very good. And Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, great. So I guess I'll start with the ladies first. And Donna, just tell me a little bit about that fateful day back about 6 years ago when you got the news. What happened to your son? What was that like?
Oh, that was horrendous. I never dreamt that I'd go through something that horrifying. Never would dream something like that could happen to my family.
And
it was horrible.
Friends that had other children that were involved in that too, that were also hurt?
No, I didn't have any friends that were hurt there, other than we had a cousin. His son was injured at Columbine also.
Okay.
So it would have been Mark's uncle's cousin. You know,
right.
Not, you know, it would have been his blood aunt married to the cousin, you know, and he was injured there. But there were actually two, they made two visits to hospitals. The uncle came to see Mark, and then the uncle went to go see the cousin injured. So there were actually two boys from the same family.
I mean, Mark took more hits than somebody in Vietnam or Iraq. So how
absolutely. And no way was he able to fight back either.
No, I know. I know.
Mm-hmm.
We've had some great talking with him here in a minute. How close did he come to, we come to losing him on this world?
We almost lost him by 1 millimeter.
Really?
And actually, they still think he should have died anyway, even if it came 1 millimeter to the heart.
Yeah.
Because they said there would have been enough damage anyway.
Yeah, that's luckily. I don't know which one of those guns that Eric Harris had, because I know
he had a 9 millimeter.
The 9 millimeter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Automatic.
Pretty heavy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How's it going tonight, man?
Pretty good.
That's good to hear it. Talk to you again. I hear your book's starting to sell pretty good.
Yeah.
So what do you want to say about this whole experience? Don't be bashful on the show.
Well, that God can bring you through tragedies.
Yeah.
You don't have to be a victim.
Yeah.
That you can go on and live your life, and you don't have to be a victim. That God can heal you, and that through His healing, you can have forgiveness. That's what my whole book is about, forgiving.
Yeah, that's an amazing book. But let's go back. Do you mind talking about the incident a little bit? Get the people
I was outside,
so they can understand your book better.
I was on the outside with friends sitting down and talking. We were reading the Bible.
Yeah.
The day of Columbine. And we were just getting ready to get up and go in for lunch. Right when we did that,
right,
I got a bullet in my chest and some bullets in my leg.
Eric's the one that shot you, right?
Yeah, it was Eric Harris.
Yeah, did you have a previous communication with him in any short sort or what?
No, I had no communication with him at all.
Yeah. Are these guys walking around the campus, what, wearing some trench coats or something like that?
Yeah, well, I saw them a week before walking around with trench coats, doing the Hitler Deutschstep.
Really? They were goose stepping.
Yep.
That's amazing. And that was him and.
Well, that's the whole trench coat philosophy. It's Hitler.
Yeah. Now, Dylan Klebo was the other one. Were there others in that group too, or just those two, or what?
Yeah, there was about four or five other kids that were friends with them that were doing Deutsch steps.
And what did you guys think when you saw this? Did you think that was kind of strange, or did they actually explain anything, or did they just walk around and do that?
The kids that I knew said, oh, look, there's a trench coat mafia. I haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah.
But that was just a couple of days.
On a bunch of drugs, right? I mean, prescribed drugs for depression and that, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I remember you, there's a thing on the BBS radio website where you actually testified before the FDA about what you felt the effect of these SRI drugs did to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead, Donna, you got something to say?
Yeah, I basically experienced some terrible things with those drugs too. You know, I had suicidal thoughts after he was shot and they put me on a drug. I can tell you those drugs don't do any good to anyone in the family.
You on those drugs? Did you take those kind of things before this happened, or did you take it afterwards?
I took it afterwards.
Yeah, you were a little bit shook up, I guess, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But those drugs are dangerous.
Yeah, I know they're dangerous. They're very bad. As I've said on my previous shows, they're derivatives of a very bad drug called angel dust.
Mm-hmm.
Angel dust was developed by the Army and the CIA.
Absolutely.
It's
just really, really bad. I was understanding it's close to LSD and that type of stuff.
Well, more like angel dust.
Yeah.
Carbon benzene ring. What happens is they got a thing called papyridine in there, and they've got another chemical called cyclohexane and cyclohexene. They're also using this in the drugs that they use to prevent viruses from attacking your body, and it's just a form of mind control.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And people that I know take this drug, I notice a personality change.
Yeah.
Just like they're not the same person anymore. Complete change.
I know our next week's guest, Ann Tracy, is going to really get into this stuff. But
I'd like
to really hear more about what your experiences are.
Right, and I think there's answers to nutrition out there if the people want to look into nutrition, you know, basically.
Yeah.
Praying, absolutely pray. You know, if you're a Christian, believe in God, you know, get a lot of prayer. And the nutrition has a lot to do with it also.
Yeah, so I agree.
You know?
I've always thought that, because I manufacture and produce vitamins and done it for years, and sell them, obviously, and help people. I know that, for example, B3, and niacin, lysine, and arginine. If you don't have those in your body becomes very unable to produce a proper cellular reproduction cycle. So what happens is you start to become depressed because when the immune system in the body, which is your consciousness, starts to fold up, becomes susceptible to different diseases, depression is a natural thing. And depression is actually there to warn you that there's something wrong. Not to be covered up by drugs.
Exactly. We should deal with the root problem, you know, instead of, you know, pills.
Right.
You know, we should deal with people and help counsel people the right form, you know. And if we're Christians, we should show people how to be delivered from it.
Right. I agree.
You know, people need to pray for one another. Take time to do that.
Yeah.
You know, deal with the roots of the problem. You know, the generational curses or whatever might be the problem.
Right. Yeah, and I agree. And in our society, what I have seen, this is my observation, in families to me are very precious, but not really respected anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And what I see is that the mother and the father are too busy out trying to earn money to pay attention to the kids anymore.
Right.
And I
agree with that.
Correctly, in the case of Dylan Klebo and Eric Harris, both the parents were completely not even tuned into what either one of these kids were doing.
Absolutely not.
The shooting took place. I guess they even got sued a bunch of times by a bunch of people out there.
Exactly. And who knows what the cover-ups on that are.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know to the day the depth of that either.
Were they an upper middle class family or lower
class? Yes, they were. They were upper middle, high class.
so they
you know, I think I think the Claybolts were really well off, and then the Harrises were middle, upper middle class.
Yeah.
But there's no excuse for this, and but again, I'm going to say, you can't do anything with somebody once they're medicated. It's impossible to deal with them. It's like maniacs once they're on these medications.
No, I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I mean, even the doctors don't know how to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, hey, Mark, were there other kids in your school at that time on these drugs, too, or were these the only ones?
Well, I'm sure that most of the country was on them.
Yeah.
It's been the drug company's position for about 30 years now to get the whole world on antidepressants. They came out 20 years ago saying that their objective was to get the whole world on drugs.
Right.
And so in America, 90%, we buy 90% of drugs. So America is like the drug company's top market for drugs.
Yeah.
So they're going to try and hit every person. I mean, cats now, they're prescribing cats medication for, you know, for depression.
Yeah.
And you know what else I think is bad about this, like in 2002?
Yeah.
Who would ever, ever imagine 157 million people on antidepressants?
Yeah.
That was in 2002.
Yeah. And yeah, and I know that the particular one, the drug called FXR, which has a side effect of homicidal ideation, I think $4-6 billion is spent from that pharmaceutical, from Wyeth Pharmaceuticals, which I guess is the main producer of that one. That's a lot of money. $3.46 billion. We could run a war over in Iraq for a while for that kind of money.
No kidding. And you know,
else.
We lost a woman at Columbine. Her mother, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but Anna Marie Hochhalter.
Yeah.
Her mother died, and she was on Zoloft.
Wow.
So I just want people to know that Zoloft is the reason for her death.
Wow.
Okay, and she died after her daughter was shot at Columbine.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She shot herself again.
Had a depression because of the loss of the daughter, which would be...
What happens is she couldn't deal with the tragedy,
yeah.
So it got worse with the drug. She couldn't reason with it. When she went on the drug, it was like a monster problem for her, huge, way over what she could do.
How old was her daughter now?
Her daughter's about 23 or 4. Mm-hmm. And she's now without a mother because of the drug.
Wow.
And then she got shot because of the drug.
Wow.
You know, I think it's a wake-up time. You know, I run across a lot of people say, oh, it's really helping me. But don't be fooled. A lot of people think it's helping them.
Well,
but when is your brain?
Well,
they say it helps them, but when are they going to know when it's going to go off and trigger something?
Yeah.
You don't have any idea what you're going to do next.
No.
You hallucinate at night. You see things in the dark. You know, you can't sleep. You're restless because you're on these drugs.
So was this
right?
Your experience?
That was my experience.
Wow.
I couldn't sleep. I hallucinated at night.
Yeah.
I'd seen weird things in the house. I couldn't even begin to tell you how bad it was. And I hated everybody around me and had no reason to live.
Wow.
I wanted to die.
So you became suicidal then?
I wanted to die.
Yeah.
And you know what? Not only that, but you can get cancer from these pills. 700% chance you'll get cancer.
That's pretty good.
Tumors. I mean, the disease list goes on and on.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do we want cancer? I mean, so if you don't commit suicide, do you have cancer?
Yeah.
How about the road rage? We see a lot of people going crazy on the road now.
Yeah.
Because
well,
of these drugs.
Going out here in California, it's carbon monoxide poisoning, which becomes an antagonist.
Yeah.
I've seen arginine and B3 in the body, and then you end up on drugs, and that's what happens. That's my push.
Mark, you could tell them about all the different people that died. I mean, it's a crazy thing.
Yeah.
It's crazy death, jumping off of the high-rise buildings.
Yeah.
Well, Harvard University released a study saying that one out of every five people who are on antidepressants will go into a psychotic manic state where they go shooting people.
That's
so,
one
and
out
that's
of five?
One out of every five.
Yeah, I believe that. I
know so say
if
you have 30, what if you have 30 million people?
You've got authority on this stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, if you have 30 million people taking these drugs, one out of five, you make look at the numbers.
Yeah.
Millions of people. And so this very bad drug.
Now, how about some of the other shootings, like that Amish thing that I know that you guys were invited
Dr.
to? Dr. Ann
said they were on the drugs
was that
for sure.
On drugs that milkman was
yes,
drugs?
He was. Mm-hmm.
He was.
And Dr. Ann will tell you what he was on.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah.
Every shooting we've checked into has been on these drugs.
Yeah, no, I believe it. So it has a tremendous effect.
And the fact that these things shouldn't even be on the market, the head Pfizer attorney became the head of FDA when we were there.
Really?
And he argued with the Congress that he didn't have the files on what was in the drugs. He just didn't bring them with him.
Wow.
Well, and you know what?
You go on the internet, or you go on bbsradio.com and see right on the front page what's in them, or you can go into my site on the inside where I've done
other... So the people that think these drugs are doing them good, they should look up drugawareness.org and read the FDA hearings.
Right, yes.
And then they're convinced...
BBS Radio, www.drugawareness.org. Fabulous website.
Absolutely. And I don't know how to tell you, but we want to get the word out with Mark's book.
Yeah, let's talk about Mark's book. I mean, of all the kids at Columbine, is he the only one to write a book?
No.
There's others that have come out.
The ones that died, and then there was
Kathy Brunell's, call it Kathy Brunell's book.
Yeah.
There's Rachel Scott. There's been several.
Michael Johnson.
They all wrote books.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Mark's book. Could you take me through a few of the chapters in that and what it's all about? And my audience out there, I've been talking to Mark. He's very brilliant. I think he's 22 years old. And I think that he's turned this thing around where he's going to make a big impression on our society. I think he'll be on some major television shows soon. I think he's going to be doing some great things. That's my feeling, you know. And so go ahead and tell us a little bit about the book, Mark.
Well, my book is pretty much, I didn't just write it just for victims of shootings, but I wrote it for anyone who has had a tragedy in their life.
Right.
And my book is the first step in healing is forgiving.
Right.
That's what a lot of people have a major problem with, forgiving. I've spoken at a conference in California where over 5,000 people showed up, and I had a Vietnam veteran who was in the Vietnam War said for 30 years he was not able to heal.
Because he
through what
heal?
Happened. Because he had lost friends in the Vietnam War.
Yeah.
But after hearing my testimony, he was able to forgive.
Right.
Forgive others. And my book has a lot of scriptures on healing and forgiveness in it. Talks about my life, my family, how I coped with it. Talks about a few celebrities that came to see me, like NSYNC, Elton John.
That's fabulous.
See, he just wants to give his testimony to everyone so they know.
Yeah, no,
this
I got
pain
you.
Is so deep, 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 deep.
Yeah.
We got to expose the truth.
Yeah, and I want everybody to know, having studied Mark's history over at Columbine, he's the one that played dead. He had to, or he would have been dead.
He would have been dead.
Yeah. What made you decide to do that anyway? Play possum on that deal. What came across your mind? What was going through your head when this was all was happening, if you don't mind bringing this memory up again, sharing it with
Well, the reason I played dead is because they were looking around, seeing who was alive. And they wanted to make sure every person was dead.
They wanted everybody on the, as far as they were concerned, that you're saying is that everybody should have been dead on the whole campus.
Yeah, they wanted to make sure they're dead. So I searched dead until a police officer came and was providing cover. And then another police officer came who was ordered not to by a higher authority, who was a Christian. He told me that God was telling him to go in that area. Something of the spirit was telling him to go in the area of Columbine.
So how long after you were hit before you were able to get up and get out of there? How long were you laying there playing dead?
Well, I laid there probably half hour.
That's quite a while. I'm bleeding all over the place, I would imagine, right?
Well, yeah, and the way police officers are trained to respond right away.
Right.
And that's why, you know, we filed a lawsuit against the police department, you know, because of that.
So now, when you were outside on the steps of the library, where were you physically at in the school?
Well, I was outside.
Hey, Fred, I'm going to go offline. I'm going to let you finish talking with him. Somebody's not leaving my phone alone.
Okay.
Okay, is that all right? Should I call you back or just let you finish with Mark?
Well, you mean you can't stay on the phone or what?
Well, is it bothering you already to tell that beep beep?
Oh, well, just wait till they stop beeping and just don't okay. You can come back on the line, right? Because I want to keep talking to you.
I'd probably lose you if I hang up. I never get back, so it's okay. I'll stay on.
Okay. Yeah, so anyway, Mark, so you're laying there and a half an hour goes by. Are you fighting to stay awake or anything like that, or what's going on in your head?
Yeah, I was trying to stay awake because I knew enough about surgery and medical that when you lose a lot of blood, you don't want to let yourself fall asleep, especially when you get shot, because you'll go into coercions.
Right.
And you go into a coma.
Right.
So you want to keep yourself awake.
Right.
Until you can get into the proper kind of medical treatment that you need. So I kept myself awake as long as I could until I got to the hospital.
Yeah. So you were pretty amazing. How old were you when this was taking place? Like 16 or 15, somewhere in there?
I was 16 years old.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. pretty amazing. If you'd have panicked, you probably would have lost the whole ball game. In many ways,
yeah.
many more ways than one. So then when they came and rescued, the cops came up, what'd they do, get you to an ambulance pretty quick or what?
Well, ambulance came, provided coverage, and another police officer who was ordered not to go in the area
yeah.
came, and because the Holy Spirit was telling him
right. he was
to go in that area.
That was truthful.
And he came, he got me. He put me in the back of his car, took me to the triage where there was an ambulance there.
Yeah.
And they got me and took me to University Hospital.
How did he know you were still alive if you were playing dead? Were you looking around and kind of looking to see that the coast was clear to make a few motions or something or what?
Well, they knew that I was alive because my eyes were open and I was moving.
Oh, okay. And then, meanwhile, Eric Harris went inside. That's when he went in the building then, right? After that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when they went in the building, yeah.
And where was Dylan Klebo bowled at when this took place? Was he right with him, or was he with somewhere else, or what?
Yeah, they went in together.
Okay, so they were both outside when you got shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many people around you got shot on the outside? Do you remember?
Friend got shot.
Yeah.
In the face, and he was able to pick himself up somehow and run away from the scene.
Oh, okay.
There was Rachel Scott, there was Richard Stottle, they got shot.
Rachel Scott.
And
yeah.
then there's Lance Kirkland,
mm-hmm.
who was a cousin of on the other side of my family, my brother's sister's husband. He was there, he got shot in the face.
These guys were going for headshots. They weren't fooling around, were they?
No, they weren't.
That's military style, you know, execution style when they're doing that.
And the drugs
yeah.
help it do it, too, let me tell you.
Yeah, I noticed.
Drugs help a lot.
I noticed in that statement that you made about to the FDA that Eric had talked about being on one of those drugs, and he was trying to get off of the damn thing. So that he could become even meaner. So somehow or other, it seems like these kids, when they were on these drugs, knew that if it's out there to get off them, they could even be more wicked. I remember you
right.
made that comment in your statement.
It helped him feel the rage.
Did it? Is that what it was?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Eric Harris actually was having suicidal thoughts from the medications.
Was he in any
He reported that to his psychiatrist.
Yeah. I mean, he was already seeing a psychiatrist.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. High school kids seeing shrinks. I mean, just that alone is like, blows my mind, you know?
Yeah.
It's unfathomable, you know?
They'll find any reason to put you on something, you know?
That's how
everyone's crazy out there. They want to medicate everyone.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Guys are really, really hungry to feed. So most of the school systems now, the kids are on these damn prescription drugs in a lot of states, I guess, huh?
Exactly. And if you look up, you know, and the Bible speaks about the last days in Revelations 18, verse 21 through 24.
Yeah, tell us about that.
It speaks about the great merchants of the earth and the fine linens. It says prophets and saints may be deceived, blood running down the streets. And it speaks about sorcery. And it says sorcery in Greek means pharmacy or medicine.
Right.
In witchcraft or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
These drugs, to me, are the fullest, evilest stuff I've ever seen in my life. And yet people take it and say it does wonders for them.
Yeah.
And when I see people on it, they don't even act right. They act like they're out of their minds.
Yeah, no, I agree. You know, back, you know, I.G. Farben, who started Merck, you know, also they were financed by some entrepreneurs who started World War II from the German side, from the Nazi side. And a lot of those people that were insane, like Joseph Goebbels and some of the people in the Third Reich, they were strung out on earlier versions of the same drug. I know.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
oh, yeah. But the drug companies got their hands in everything.
I'm a painkiller freak on morphine. But I know, for example, that for these old SRI uptake drugs have been around for a long, long time.
You want to hear something that's amazing to me?
What?
They put people on these drugs, and they don't even know how to get them off.
Well, there is no getting off.
Right.
It's a one-way street. It's just like
LSD, same thing.
You get on, start getting relying on heart medication. And your body requires what looks for the enzyme reaction of the electricity released by like foxglove and herbs like that and the drugs that go with that, they can't get off of them.
No.
You're stuck. You know, you have to take a hell of a lot of
But Dr. Tracy has a tape on how to come off of them.
Yeah.
But she has a tape that people can listen to how to come off.
Yeah, well, that's
But it's
good.
Very slow. It's not something you just jump right off of.
No,
and you have
like,
to listen to the tape and, you know, it tells you how to come off.
Yeah.
And, of course, the longer you're on these drugs, the longer it takes to come off.
Exactly. No, I totally understand that. So anyhow, Mark, tell us a little bit more about your book. I want to hear more about it.
Well, my book is really just about forgiveness and my life experience on what I went through.
And it's very inspirational to read it. It's very, very, very deep. And I think it's very good for people to read so they can understand what it's like to go through this. And then I think it's very inspiring. And I think that it would change a lot of people's lives if they read it.
So I think it's a definite. If you have kids in school, I definitely don't see why you wouldn't have this book.
Yeah.
You know, I think anybody that has any school children out there definitely needs to get this book and read it.
And we want to bring healing to the rest of the victims, not just Columbine, but, you know, the other school shootings.
Yeah.
And so if we can bring a book out, then we can bring their book out. Because everybody has a different experience.
Yeah.
A different experience.
Now, Mark, what are you going to do with your life? I know you're going to go out on a book tour because I'm going to help you get it going. And any of you listeners out there, be sure and look on the, you know, hatepublishing.com or amazon.com and get this book. And you can type Mark Taylor's book into the search engine and you'll probably take you to it, too. So what are you going to be doing in the future? You're going to be going out and doing some lectures? Now, you're only 22. I realize that. So what are your future plans?
Oh, 23.
23. Okay. Well, I'm making you younger now.
That's nice.
So what are you going to
be doing? I'm
going to
most definitely do ministry, helping get people off drugs.
Yeah.
And get them educated because prescription drugs have become the number two leading cause of death in America.
The number two?
I think it's number one, but...
Either way, it's become such
an epidemic.
And I don't think the American public really has an awareness to this.
No. No, they don't.
Yeah.
Just like I didn't have an awareness until my son got shot.
Yeah.
Then I got woke up.
Yeah, but then you went on the drugs, right?
Yeah.
You wanted to dry him out to make sure that
and
was a problem?
I don't think I'd be here, honestly, if I hadn't gotten off of them.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be here.
Yeah, well, now, I guess
no.
Eric was on Luvox.
He was on, first he was on what, Mark? Zoloft, and then
Luvox. He was on Zoloft first, and then Luvox.
Yeah.
Wow. Then what were you taking, Donna? What were you?
I was taking Paxil.
Was that a pretty strong one?
Yes.
Okay.
I was on strong milligrams. Very strong.
Well, how did you get off of it?
I thought there was something wrong with me. I called my pastor on the phone.
Yeah.
And the doctor said, no, you got to keep taking them. And I thought, I'm going to go insane. So I called my pastor, and he prayed with me over the phone.
Yeah, that helped.
And told me to quit taking them, but I wasn't supposed to do that. Had I known different, I would have came off real slow if I knew about a tape to buy, see.
Oh,
but I
okay.
didn't have those answers at that time. So God took me off of them.
So you did it cold turkey real fast.
Real fast, and it's awful.
Yeah.
I can't begin to tell you the sharp pains that you get in your head and the nightmares, and you can't ever sleep.
So how long?
You can't, your brain never shuts down. It just goes 100 miles an hour.
How long did this detox take place anyway?
Oh, I was on it a year, and it took me 3 years later, and I was still suffering 3 years later from the side effects.
So this was actually causing DNA damage then. It
was. Yes, it did, and I now have a thyroid problem.
Wow.
Where it doesn't work. One of my thyroids doesn't work.
Wow.
And that was the damage I got as a result of those drugs.
Wow.
Not to mention, it made me gain weight.
Yeah, well,
I gained weight on the pill.
A lot of people I find that have been on, you know, speed, cocaine, those kind of drugs, they were thin when they go on the drugs.
Oh, they get real heavy.
Well, they get thinner while they're on the drugs, and then they come off, and then they just, their metabolism is so distraught.
See, for me, I just gained so much weight, and I'm working on the weight factor now. But like I said, one thyroid isn't working at all.
Yeah. I'm going to send you a nuclear receptor, by the way. I haven't forgotten
about
that.
Well,
thank you. I've just been a little busy to help you with
that. But I have such a heart for people
now
that I've been through such a horrible, horrible experience.
Yeah.
I have, God has put such a love in my heart because I the pain is just too much.
Yeah, no, I
the pain is just too much.
So you're not depressed now, though, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
I'm with God.
Like
the Lord has helped me a lot.
You're having a little fun.
You know,
now,
if it wasn't for the Lord, I would, like I said, I wouldn't be here.
Now, with the Lord, are you taking some vitamins or nutrients?
I am taking some New Life Whole Foods, but I'm about out of that.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for, some things coming through that we need to do. But right now, Mark and I have pretty much solemnly have donated our life to the cause. And, of course, we lost our lawsuit, you know.
Which lawsuit was that?
$80,000 that we sued.
Who did you sue?
We sued Solvay Pharmaceutical Company.
And what happened? Tell me about that.
Well, we lost the lawsuit completely. Our attorney didn't do the Mark, you want to tell him? Or?
Tell Mark. Let me hear Mark here.
Yeah,
he's there.
Pretty much what happened was, you know, their lawyers came in and said, if you don't drop this lawsuit, we're going to countersue you. And which didn't have the money to get the case forward.
Yeah, so they intimidated you like an insurance company would or anybody else. It was full on intimidation. It was a threat. And your attorney wouldn't stand up to that?
Actually, I hired three different attorneys on this case.
Yeah.
I had one attorney who came in and then he got afraid. He wanted to drop the case, so I hired another attorney to come on for him.
Right.
And then that attorney got afraid, so I had to hire another attorney to come on and
that's amazing.
And take the
Do you
case.
Think these guys are being bought off by the drug companies or what?
Well, pretty much what the drug companies just told them is we're going to sue you for representing this kid, just for taking this case on.
Well, that's pretty high powered. You know, that's a pretty good threat. Right. Were these local attorneys or what?
This was my attorney.
Yeah,
or
the ones you had.
Well, I had one from Nebraska, and then one from Colorado, and then another one from Maryland.
Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you, out here in California, some of these guys out here would have said, go ahead and threaten me with a countersuit, and they'd have gone for the jugular vein.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds
really?
Like you need to get rehooked back.
But
up.
We lost our money. We lost everything. And Mark and I are just starting our lives all over again. And our ministry is to help people come off these drugs.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
And I know I've tried applying for jobs and stuff, and God just hasn't opened doors up anywhere else. And I have such a desire to help people right now. There's a need. There's such a need right now.
Yeah, well, you know, these tragedies often motivate people to get into, into their real life work. And when you're in your real life work, I believe that you'll be taken care of financially. It may be a little rough getting it launched, but
yes.
But I think that you'll be doing just fine. And I know, for example, a lot of laws were passed where children were murdered or abducted by abductors,
mm-hmm.
and parents put up tremendous causes, you know. And,
right. But for Mark
I mean,
and I, we live
experience.
With an older brother that's providing for us, an older brother. It's been a real saint.
Yeah.
And but we're going to launch out some things. We're going to do things for God.
Yeah.
And we want to help so many people out there understand what's going on. And honestly, we're not trying to come down on people hard out there. We're just trying to tell the truth of what we went through.
I've had conversations with you and your son for 2 weeks now and off air, and I've enjoyed every conversation we've had, and I think they've all been very meaningful and very educational for me. I hope the audience can.
But there's so many alternatives out there that don't harm you.
Yeah, I agree.
You know?
I mean,
and there's so many
question.
People
what about,
dying.
Yeah.
You know,
what about
drugs?
Other parents? Are you the only?
We're the only parents fighting the drug company right now. We had four or five families that were with us, and they pulled off because the drug company said that they were going to sue them for everything they owned if they sued.
Boy, I'll tell
and
you
they
what,
couldn't
I
afford to lose their home.
California attorneys out here.
Now
me.
Listen. they were going to lose their homes and everything, and they pulled off the case, okay?
Yeah.
They were a lot of the families that lost their kids on the lawsuit with us, and they pulled off because they couldn't afford to lose everything they owned. For Mark and I don't know why. God must have chose us to lose everything because he's going to return everything back.
Yeah, I know it's all coming back, and I have a question for you. If some of the attorneys out there listening tonight, or some hear this show later on, or hear you guys talk about this on future shows, whether it be another network or TV or whatever, if you had the appropriate attorney, would you reopen these cases? Would you go back and do another round with these drug companies?
I would if there was an attorney that would take it and do something with them.
Yeah.
Because honestly, they're getting by with too much here. We're losing a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's not fair. They have no right to rob people's lives.
Yeah.
And they don't have any right doing this.
And these drugs aren't cheap. I mean, you probably pay more for these prescription drugs than some people do for illegal, illicit drugs.
Right.
Yeah.
They're very expensive. They're very dangerous. And if they don't cause homicide, suicide, your cancer rate is high, your tumors are high, your Alzheimer's disease is very high. I mean, every disease you can imagine they cause.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, heart disease, whatever. I mean, I had my blood pressure was so high from being on those. They had put me on blood pressure medicine. Never in my life if I had been on that.
Yeah.
See? Yeah. So it was causing heart problems for me.
Yeah, they have all kinds of side effects. You know, when you listen to a drug commercial, you hear the commercial, well, you have back pain. Well, we'll take care of your back pain, but you might have side effects of heart attack, arthritis.
Fred, what would you do if you went to bed and you couldn't sleep? Never.
Yeah.
Because of those pills.
Yeah.
What would you do?
I mean, I wouldn't want to go there in the first place.
No, but can you imagine you can't even rest the brain to sleep?
Yeah, it just keeps going all the time.
It never stops.
Yeah.
And the brain was meant to shut down and get into sleep.
Oh, yeah, you need to go into rapid eye movement, REM sleep.
Absolutely. And, I'm going to tell you, there's more kids on these drugs that are having car wrecks than you can ever imagine, and the car wrecks are phenomenal.
Up there,
I mean, the
Colorado?
Cars are split right in half or torn to pieces to where you came to out the vehicle.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they don't care. Road rage, they don't care. They think they can fly.
Yeah.
And they don't have any feelings or any concerns. I mean, you lose your natural affection for people and for yourself even.
Yeah. Now, this is with all these, we don't have so many wrecks down here because we got a very, down here in Southern California, if you drive or weave, you get pulled over. I mean, they are, the DUI police are out, the drugs.
I'm against the drugs, Anthony, but.
Yeah, well, what's it like up there in Colorado?
And I'm telling you,
is there a lot of these?
I don't know how to stress this, Dr. Fred. If people would just go into nutrition
and
just believe
that.
It, man.
You're,
if they
you're,
just
what,
believe.
What vitamins are you taking now?
I take the Whole Foods. I take New Life, NULIFE herbs.
Yeah.
.com, and I take the Whole Foods, and it's in a big jug.
Right.
And you mix it with juice, and you get every vitamin you can imagine in there. You get your wheatgrass, you get your brown rice, you get stevia, you get, everything you can imagine, your spinach leaf, everything in it. And
okay,
there's no sugar added,
Okay, now
and
what?
No,
okay, let me ask you something, Donna. How far off of this drugs had you been before you discovered this alternative that works for you? How long of a period of time?
I was off of the drugs for 2 years before I even knew I was supposed to be on nutrition.
So you really had 2 years of a time you really wouldn't want to repeat.
Right.
Yeah, it was a bad
and
year
I,
for
I
you.
And I never knew anything about nutrition because I just, nobody in my family was on it, and everybody's into the, regular food and, the regular garbage of drugs. And
so once you got back on these,
and so I'm on radio. But, Fred, I'm telling you, it's sickening what these drugs are doing to people.
Yeah.
It's very, very sickening. Hang on. Did you get to see the red one today? Mhm.
Yeah.
Did you see the red one? The
yeah.
other one. Not this one. Not this
oh,
one.
Darn
He's good, isn't he? Huh?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. We're in a church functioning right now.
Oh, good.
And I'm just praising the Lord. But I tell you, if it wasn't for God again, I would not be here.
Yeah.
For the mercy of God in showing me the truth, I'm telling you, it's awesome. You know?
Yeah,
when
no,
the
I
Bible says.
That. For those that. Some of our listeners aren't quite as religious as you are, and I always just tell them, if whatever you believe your higher nature to be, let that lead you through your path. I always tell people that, whether you be, you know, letting Jesus run your life, or whether it's a higher self. If you're an alcoholic going to AA, you're looking for the higher self to bring in, step in. It depends. Everybody has their higher beliefs, but we all need to have a higher belief in something, because
absolutely,
because I've never seen a person yet.
Like
a
I said, there's more to the testimony. If the people buy the book, they're going to be amazed.
Oh yeah, I'm looking forward to everything.
I mean, there's so much in there.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, and I want to do God's work. And I'm telling you, I wish I would have woke up way before Columbine and known about these drugs. And had I known that, you know, and it can happen anywhere. It can happen at Christian schools. It can happen anywhere.
It is.
And if I'd known about these drugs, I would have been an advocate against them right away.
Yeah, well.
I would have been doing something years ago before now.
There are, you know, I spent 20 years with the National Health Federation. We advocated against them. And we were the ones back that got vitamins legalized with freedom of choice. We had a guy named Clinton Miller in Washington as our lobbyist, along with another guy. And
right.
We had to fight. We spent a lot of money, you know, and
absolutely.
Stuff, and it's never ending.
Right.
And believe it or not, the guest I'm going to have on the show after Ann Tracy, the week after that, is a medical doctor just spent $500,000 fighting this Kodak thing.
Mm-hmm.
International, sham to put down vitamins and let drugs become. She's going to the president
right.
of India in 2 weeks to meet with her.
Right. See,
I mean,
we're massively being
localized.
Don't you think it's because we're massively being murdered just to get rid of population also and make the money?
Well, yeah. There's
just
there's
to get rid of us?
Hey, Kissinger depopulation policy, which I talk about, which
came
out in the Executive Intelligence Review in 1981. Which was a Lyndon LaRoche publication, which he went to jail for almost 10 or 15 years.
I'm on radio.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just amazing. You know, I mean, everywhere I turn, even my friends are on drugs. I mean, they pretend like they're not on them and they're crazy.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you see them wacky and they'll say they're not on them. So don't trust anybody saying they're not on them.
Yeah.
If they act crazy, they're real irrational, they're real hyped up.
Yeah.
And they won't let you talk, and their mouth's going all the time, or if they're too quiet, beware of these signs, because a lot of times people aren't telling you they're on them.
No, I don't think anybody at all.
They don't tell you that they're on them, okay?
Yeah. Well,
no.
out of the people that you meet around in your neighborhood, how many do you think, what percentage do you think are on these things now?
The percentage is high.
Yeah, like
I said, Dr. Tracy will come on and tell you. I told you that. What did I tell you back in 2002? It was a huge amount number that the 700 Club checked on.
Yeah,
they did a series on the drugs, the antidepressants. Mark, are you online?
Yeah.
And it was in the millions. What did I tell you earlier? The figure.
Well, America buys 90% of all prescription drugs, and we know that antidepressants are the biggest market.
Yeah,
right
that's
now.
In the world, right?
And see, when you get on antidepressants, then you have other problems, so you can take other drugs with them.
Oh, yeah, it covers everything,
you know?
Up. Pretty soon your immune system, which I believe is your vitality.
And, you know, it's I call it the divorce pill. I see more people divorcing that are going on those pills.
Well, I think you had an experience like that, too, or a separation.
Yes, I
right?
did. But I'm telling you, their personality changes. I can't believe they have no conscience. They don't care.
Yeah.
You know, they can just put everything away on a shelf and it's... And it's like, oh, my gosh, they let go of everything and anything that bothers them.
Yeah.
Anything and everyone that bothers them, they let go of.
Well, I think it really tears families apart.
It absolutely does. It's called the divorce pill. And in Colorado, I understood about 65 or 70% people are divorced now.
Really?
Yep, in Colorado.
Wow.
I don't know what it is, you know, in the other places, but here it's 70%.
Yeah, so when we get Mark out on the road, he's going to have to go get some statistics for the rest of the state. Right, Mark?
Absolutely. We need to know the statistics on that.
Yeah.
And more families are not talking to each other. You know, they won't. The husband and wife don't talk to each other. They're divorced, or the kids don't talk to the fathers and mothers.
Right.
I mean, it's just unreal, the division it's brought.
Yeah, so you really woke
up. Horrible.
You really woke up after this incident.
Yeah, I mean, I was so busy. You know, I was like an everyday mom. I raised kids, took them to school. You know, went to work every day. I used to work for Denver Bridal Shows. I loved it. But I was so tied up in my work that I wasn't paying attention to anything.
And what did you do? What was your main job before?
I did bridal shows. I worked with models. I helped produce shows with a producer.
Okay.
And it was a fun job because, you know, it's kind of joyous to see people getting married. But now with these pills, I never seen so many divorces in my life.
Yeah. People.
It was a fun job getting people married, you know, selling them gowns and, you know, giving them different things to do, you know, for their weddings. And, you know, we put on a show.
Yeah.
I mean, that was fun.
Yeah.
But now it's not so fun with all the divorces going on.
Well, what were you doing?
You got to ask yourself, how many people are being blamed for their personalities, and it's the pill doing it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How many people are shame-blamed for everything that they're not guilty of?
Yeah.
No, these medications.
I agree.
Innocent people are getting blamed even.
Yeah, no, I
know.
Not
the ones that are on the pills.
Yeah.
All innocent people. We're all innocent even if we are on the pills.
Yeah.
Aren't we?
So back on April 20th of 1999, what were you doing before you heard the news?
Well, I was coming home from bridal shows. I was getting ready to take my suits into cleaners.
Yeah.
I was finishing up my work there for a while, and I was going to be doing the show, you know, coming up. And as I was coming home, I heard on the radio there was a shooting at Columbine.
What happened? It went through your head when you heard that?
I just drove real close to school, but they wouldn't let me anywhere near it, you know.
Yeah.
And from there, I got out of the car, and I didn't know where the school was I was supposed to be meeting at because I was new in the neighborhood. We were only lived there 3 weeks. And
but you just moved in from somewhere else?
Yes. I moved ranch to Littleton by the school.
Wow. So that was a real shock right there.
And it's a real shock. And he was only there 3 weeks.
Wow. Well, see,
and what amazes,
I had no clue.
What amazes me with the whole thing is I was coming home, and my boss has let me move the office at home for about 2 or 3 months.
Right.
Because my mother needed help. My mother was moving in with us
right.
because she needed me to drive her for her chemotherapy three
right.
times a week. And so I was excited about taking care of my mom. She was doing really good. And, you know, every time I took her into chemo, she was doing good, but it was getting to where she needed to be closer to her doctor.
Right.
So she was going to move in with us.
Right.
And she was doing good, praise the Lord. But the tragedy happened, and unfortunately went backwards, and she went, died.
When she died. Yeah, well,
she died.
Now let's
yeah.
go back.
A year after
drive,
Columbine.
Drive up to school. And
she
you
died.
Don't know what's happening with your son, if he's involved or not. So what happened next? Did you park and walk up to the police line, or what did you do?
What did I do?
Well, both of you. When I mean, you're over there getting shot. What's your mom doing? You know.
Well, I was in the hospital.
Did she know that you were in the hospital?
No, I didn't know at least 2.5 hours before I found out he was in the hospital.
So how did you even find out that he was involved in the shooting?
I waited at the school for the sheriff to come up and tell of the different victims whether they were shot or not.
Oh, okay, so you're kind of waiting on the periphery of the school.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And they came up and said Mark Taylor was shot, so I went back in the back room and heard they were doing surgery on him and that they picked me up if I needed a ride to the hospital.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I think I can get there. And somebody came along and took me to the hospital.
Well, that's good. I don't think you should have been driving at that point.
No. But the person that was driving was a loony, too. So by miracles, I did get there.
Yeah. And
okay.
So when did Mark, when did you get to see your mom? Did you wake up right after the surgery or what?
Yeah, I
woke
up.
It was late in the evening.
Huh?
I woke up.
Late in the evening.
Late in the evening, and my parents were in the emergency room with me.
Were you very aware of what was going on at that point, or were you pretty much sedated
Actually, I was on a lot of medications.
So you really didn't feel much, or you just knew something happened, you weren't sure what at that point.
Yeah, I was pretty medicated.
And Mark didn't like the medication feeling, so he asked them to pull it away from him after a while, because it was making him sick.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So when did Mark start to function, in the next couple of days or what?
Oh, no. Mark was in
the
hospital.
It took me 50 days.
Yeah.
50 days to recuperate.
Here's the situation. He was shot in the chest 7 to 13 times.
Yeah.
And they sent him home and had nurses come out to the house to treat him 3 times a day.
Right.
Then he ends up back in the hospital with a staph infection.
Okay.
In his lungs. So then he's back in intensive care again.
Wow.
And then he goes back in with a blood clot intensive care.
Whoa.
And then back in with another problem. He had a hernia that was jammed under his heart that was hurting him. It was making him very ill. Couldn't keep food down, so he had to have that fixed.
Wow.
So he had several surgeries. He had the major one on the stomach, and then he had one in the leg surgery. And then he went back and had the tubes put in for the staph infection.
Wow.
And then he had another surgery, you know, where they put the tube in.
Right.
I mean, they did surgery on his stomach to get rid of the hernia.
Right.
But nevertheless, they were going to do major surgery on Mark again.
Wow.
Yeah, with a staph infection. And I stayed up praying all night because I didn't think he was going to live through it. I had no clue. You know, I thought he was going to die if they opened him up again because he could hardly breathe. He was very sick and weak.
Yeah.
And I asked, you've got to do something else. You can't open him up and leave him open for 6 weeks.
No, that doesn't work.
They were going to leave him wide open. And I thought, my gosh, he'll get sick. He won't make it.
Yeah.
So I begged and begged. There's got to be another alternative. And they put the tubes in to drain the staph infection.
Okay. And drained it that way.
Yeah. And so he's alive. I mean, he's a miracle.
I know he's alive. He's pretty fired up now.
Yes, and we just want to share with the world that we love other people out there. We care about people.
Yeah.
This is not a fun thing to go through.
Well, the reason I'm taking you, and I apologize for making you go through the gruesome details, both of you, but I really think that people need to know that this is not just an incident that you see on TV or hear in the radio or read in the newspaper. You're real people. He's a real person, and he went through the experience. And I think that people need to know how much pain the people.
Oh, it's horrible. The pain.
Incidents.
Let me tell you how bad the pain was.
Yeah.
His pain was so severe, the doctors came out and told me that he could die from just the pain alone. That's how bad it was.
Well, that's pretty heavy, yeah.
That's very heavy.
So they put him on some painkillers now, like morphine, like they did
everybody
else?
They did for a while, but it made him sick and it really didn't help the pain, so we went in and prayed for him.
Yeah, so
and
that
then
helped.
We would rub the legs and stuff with oil, anointing oil, and trying to make him comfortable and read scriptures over him because really the only pain reliever he had was Jesus.
Yeah. No, I understand
that was Jesus,
that one.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing on earth here that could do it, what he did.
So how long after that fateful day in April how many months went by before he was starting to feel comfortable and back?
It was a whole 2 months practically to partially healed from all the surgeries.
Yeah.
Because he was in the hospital 2 months. You got to realize that intensive care in and out
how
for
long
2 months
did
straight.
Before he physically got his
and physically
back
it was two years after
around.
A
how
good 2 years at least.
How long?
I would say at least 2 years, right, Mark?
Yeah, at least 2 years.
So are you in pretty good shape now, Mark?
Yeah, I'm really good.
You probably got a few scars on your body, but how are you overall?
I'm doing pretty well.
Not quite up to speed. Are you a good weatherman yet? Usually people with all those kind of injuries can tell when the weather's going to change.
He has a little bit of arthritis. He has some arthritis.
Yeah, okay.
But
I can create earthquakes.
But he laughs, and it's good to be laughable.
Yeah,
even if you're not completely well.
I think he's got a great great job ahead of him, and I'm really excited to have you guys.
But I just tell people we love you all, and I think the reason why we went through this is to share the testimony.
Yeah.
And we have a deep love for people where I would have never woken up from these things before until I had to experience how naughty they are.
Yeah, well, look at you. You had a fun job. You had a son in school. You just changed jobs 3 weeks. You were going pretty strong, and all of a sudden, the whole carpet pulled out from under you, and it took you years to recover.
Absolutely. And I have daughter-in-laws that I'm still praying for to get off these drugs.
Yeah.
And I have relatives. I won't give the names of my relatives, but a huge list of relatives that are constantly trying to kill themselves. They're taking, like, razor blades or trying to cut themselves up, and they won't listen. All I can do is pray. All I can sit back and pray that they'll listen or hear.
Yeah.
That's all I can do. But there are people out there that are hearing us.
Yeah, no, that's good.
There are people that will hear us.
Yeah, no, I want you guys, if there's other radio shows out there, I know there's a lot of them listening, people down in Florida and all that, contact me. Or BBS Radio to get a hold of Mark or Donna so they can come down and be on your network, I think.
Right, and I so much want to get everything that's good out there on the market. You know, you have your products into a new life, and I want to know more about your products. But I think with all of us pulling together with the different products, we have the answers.
Yeah, no, I think it's really good, and I really want to see this book get up and fly. And I think I've not read it yet, but I'm looking forward to reading it. And I know I've seen the publishing company. It seemed like a very forthright, very credible publishing company. They only have good topics in their books that they sell.
Yeah.
So I'm
and anybody out there wants to help with this, you know, you're welcome to.
Yeah. Do you have any
we're a bunch appreciated.
You want to give out where people could reach you?
Well, right now, right.
Email address or anything.
Mark
like that?
Has an email address. Mark,
yeah,
do you want to give it?
Mark Hither, 80128 at hotmail.com.
Okay, let's slow this down. It's Mark, M-A-R-K,
K-O-I-L-R,
88, what is it?
80128.
80128, as Mark Taylor, 80128.
At hotmail.com.
At hotmail.com.
Yeah, make sure everybody get a copy of my book. It's going to be a bestseller. I'm going to sell millions of copies of it.
Yeah, you are. We're going to get you up on some television here. A lot of people out there at BBS Radio, if you can help get the word out, you know, email me or them and go to tatepublishing.com, and you can order the book now. It's also through Amazon and a lot of the bookstores. I think Ingram's going to be handling it. I want to thank you guys for
thank you so
my
much.
Show.
And I want to mention one thing that, and some of the proceeds that I'd be bringing in, I'd like to help people that can't afford to get on good nutrition.
Yeah.
And to help them get off the drugs.
Yeah. Well, you guys.
And I'm with a church now that I have been going to a church now in Colorado Springs, and a lot of the people that are laying outdoors are on drugs. You know, they have no homes to be in.
Right.
I would like to be able to get them on good nutrition.
Yeah.
Okay, and
good.
A lot
We're
of them can't afford.
I want to thank you too for being on. Mark, good luck. Keep in touch with me. I want to help you get on other shows and help your TV career. You've been listening to Dr. Fred Bell's Health, Science, and Energy show. Next week, we're going to have Dr. Ann Blake Tracy on, who is phenomenal. I'm very famous. Friend of Lynn Horowitz, my other friend, a real fighter. She's Susie's drug company. She's got a lot to say. And we're glad everybody out there listened. Thank you in Florida. Thank you, Nevada. Thank you for all the new listeners we had tonight for being on this show. You heard it here first on BBS Radio. And this has been.
Well, I want to mention one more thing to you guys.
Okay.
One more thing before you hang up.
Yeah.
Honestly, if there's churches that want us to come out and speak, we're available.
Yeah, and just contact me. At FredBell@Paradigm.com. Or BBS Radio, and we'll.
And that goes for churches and organizations. It doesn't have to be church, but
okay. All right,
anything. We're available.
All right. Thanks, Mark. We'll talk
Thank
to you.
You
guys soon.
Bless you guys.
Bye.
Bye. We love you.